KQED.
California is home to more undocumented immigrants than any other state. As they settle down and marry, that can make for some complicated relationships, in part due to a federal immigration law passed nearly 16 years ago. It forces thousands of married couples who try to get legal to live apart across international borders. Thousands more stand to be split up, even though President Obama has promised to change the rules by early next year. As part of our collaboration with the Center for Public Integrity, reporter Amy Isaacson brings us the story of one family divided by the law.
It's a typical Monday morning in the Barber household. TJ and his wife Maite take turns at the sink. They make coffee, kiss their 18-year-old daughter Nydia goodbye,
bye, hon,
and go out to the car. They get their 10-year-old son Lucas snuggled into the back seat. TJ lies down on the street.
I have a flashlight going on my phone. And I'm just looking under the car. Unfortunately, they pick up on people that cross a lot.
He's talking about crossing the U.S.-Mexico border.
And they sometimes attach, drugs or things to the bottom of your car. So I just gotta do my own inspection right here. Yeah, it looks fine.
The barbers pull away from their Tijuana apartment at 3:30 a.m. They race to get to the San Ysidro border crossing before 4. Any later, and they'll get stuck waiting 2 or 3 hours. TJ has to get to work. He's a software engineer in San Diego. Lucas can't be late for fourth grade there. Maite drives so they can sleep. When they're just a few cars from crossing, she hands over the wheel to TJ. They say goodbye. She walks to the bus stop in Tijuana. Maite and TJ married in San Diego in 2002, but she's barred from the U.S. She has to stay behind in Mexico.
Right now, this is kind of the best way we can do it.
The barbers are just one of thousands of families stuck apart like this. TJ is a U.S. citizen. Maite lived in the U.S. as an undocumented immigrant. The separation is due to a provision of an immigration reform package passed by Congress in 1996. It made it more difficult and risky for undocumented immigrants who marry U.S. citizens to apply for green cards. Prior, they'd submit an application while in the U.S. and pay a $650 fee. The 1996 law requires undocumented immigrants to go back to their country to apply. But they're barred from the U.S. the moment they leave if they lived in the U.S. illegally for more than 6 months. The bars last 3 to 10 years, sometimes more, depending on how long they were in the U.S. illegally, how many times they crossed, and if they were deported.
I think the punishment is proportionate to the offense.
Jessica Vaughn is with the Center for Immigration Studies. It's a group that wants to limit immigration.
But many people simply aren't even aware of the bar. I mean, that's apparent because people continue to come here illegally over the border or come in on visas and then overstay those visas.
The 1996 bars were meant to deter undocumented immigrants. However, their numbers in the U.S. have doubled since 96 to peak at about 12 million in 2007. Professor Wayne Cornelius at the University of California, San Diego, says given that, laws like the bars are largely symbolic.
Laws that really don't impact human behavior and therefore don't create a real deterrent effect, but which do create very significant hardship.
Maite Barber, TJ's wife, had no idea the bars existed.
I didn't know anything. I was from up in the mountains in Mexico. I was a single mom and wanted the best for my daughter, Nydia, so I decided to cross.
Maite made it through the San Ysidro border crossing in 1997 on her second try. She hid in the trunk of a car. She got a job right away at a Burger King in San Diego. TJ worked there to earn money for college. He remembers the first time he saw her.
Through that little place where the heat lamps are.
They started dating.
Next thing we know, just deep in love and everything. And I was aware of her immigration situation. And I, like most people under the pressure, was like, well, I mean, if she gets married to me, then we're set.
TJ thought his being a U.S. citizen would get Maite a green card, no problem. They hired an attorney. We couldn't speak to him for this story, but we did speak with Ginger Jacobs, who practices immigration law in San Diego. She says 100 people a year ask her if it's worth the risk to get their spouse a green card. All but one time, she said it's not.
If we did not have the 3 and 10 year bars, many people would be eligible to immigrate through marriage or through another family relationship, and literally millions of people would, and the number of quote-unquote undocumented people would be reduced dramatically.
The law does provide a waiver for families who can prove extreme hardship for the U.S. citizen spouse if the couple is separated. But as it stands now, you can only apply for the waiver outside of the U.S. after you've been barred, and only people who crossed illegally just once are eligible. So many people hunker down here in order to stay with their families. That's what the Barbers did, until Maite was caught in 2010. A policeman pulled her over when she was looking for her friend's house. It was determined that Maite was in the country illegally. She was handed over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
And I was sure that we would be able just to work it out. I was just like, okay, come on. Look, she's got an American citizen husband. She's got an American citizen child. Like, I think you guys have bigger fish to fry.
Maite was locked up in an immigration detention center for 5 months. She fought her case but lost. She was deported to Tijuana. All she had with her were the 5-inch heels she had on the night she was arrested and her cell phone with a dead battery. This was the start of the Barber's new reality. Maite stayed in Tijuana, separated from TJ and her kids and far from her family in southern Mexico. For months, she couldn't sleep. At night, she'd climb up a bridge with a panoramic view of San Diego.
Para mirar al otro lado.
For me, it was like going to the other side. Like watching over my family.
She got a searing headache. She went deaf in one ear. Her doctor said it was stress. Maite's son, Lucas, has gained so much weight since this all happened that he gets winded when he reads out loud. These days, Lucas and TJ spend a few days every week in Tijuana. But Maite is still haunted every afternoon at 3 when school lets out.
Él al salir de la escuela siempre se subía al arbolito.
Lucas would climb the same tree every day after school. He'd say, "Catch me if I fall." It's terrible for me to think that I'm not there.
Enough of these stories of families separated by the 96 immigration bars have surfaced that the Obama administration has announced plans to change the rules. The change would mean that people can apply for the hardship waiver while in the U.S., but it isn't likely to go into effect this year, and it's unclear what would happen if Obama isn't reelected. The Barbers and thousands of couples like them who've already been barred won't qualify anyway. 7 Republican congressmen who support the bars declined to discuss them for this story. Instead, many sent statements blasting the president for doing what they call another end run around Congress to change immigration rules.
Unfortunately, and increasingly these days, things are frozen. There's no will to try to do refinements. But these things are crying out for broader discussion.
Doris Meissner was the Commissioner of Immigration and Naturalization Services when Congress passed the bars. She says a few years after they went through, many of the congressmen who voted them in asked her to ease up on deporting family members of some of their constituents. Maite Barber has been barred for the next 20 years. Since the initial shock and outrage, she and TJ have found some semblance of peace by becoming Jehovah's Witnesses. Maite has found a sense of community. TJ likes the concept of a celestial government that's fair and just, the kind of treatment he says he's yet to find here. For the California Report, I'm Amy Isaacson.
That story was co-reported by Susan Ferris at the Center for Public Integrity. To read the stories and see photos of other families affected, go to californiareport.org.